We're going to be speaking about something that happens quite often, and especially in a yeshiva like ours, in greeting Bein Hazmanim, figuring out what exactly you're supposed to do during Bein Hazmanim. What's doubly important to understand here is that we're standing in the midst of a precarious situation. Although it is not a full-fledged war, can't call it a full-fledged war when it's really a one-side onslaught and just random missiles coming from the other side. It's not a full-fledged war yet, but it still is a precarious situation, and neither way of looking at it will look good. For example, on one side, right, we obviously want to wipe Hamas off the face of the planet and get rid of them completely and not have to worry about them ever again. That's obvious, right? Be very beneficial for everybody, and that would be all good. While on the other, to do so and cost even one human life, let alone, forget about the fact that it might cost the Arabs their lives, but to have a Jewish life to be taken away, both of those things are absolutely terrible, and you don't want to have anything. It's horrific to be able to lose one person, even if it's a non-Jew, in any type of a war that isn't somebody who deserves to die in a war like this. That's right there to begin with. So, Baruch Hashem, I'm not a posek. I don't know what I would do if that situation was placed in front of me, but that's why I'm not a posek. I would have absolutely no idea what to do. But I read an article about a year ago about this type of a situation in Eretz Yisrael and what the yeshiva bachurim are like when this situation comes up and what happens. There was a person who was pushing for all people who are in yeshivas everywhere in Eretz Yisrael to end up going to the army, no matter what. They should be drafted the same way that regular public school Israelis are drafted. And one of his tainas is that he was sitting in a car during one of the wars, I don't remember when it was, maybe the Lebanon War, and there were soldiers that were in unbelievable sakana, that were up by Lebanon, that were dealing with all the issues that come with being an army, you know, being a soldier in the army. And the Bachurim that were with them said, we're also in an army. We're in the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're fighting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're fighting for, you know, to make sure that everything's there. And he asked them if they were on Bein Hazmanim. And they said to him, yes, we are. And he said, if you're on Bein Hazmanim and you're not in yeshiva, then how can you be fighting for the people that are there in that fight? He said, these people waste their time with Bein Hazmanim, taking their time off and giving, you know, taking a day or two off when the soldiers don't get the day off. They don't get that day off, so why do you guys get a day off, but they don't? That was his claim. I completely understand the point. I understand the point, and it's very hard to speak from a perspective of somebody who has not been in the Israeli army, which I have not been, nor even ever really planned on being. And it's very hard to say, you know, how to look at this type of a situation from their point of view. From our point of view, however, the guy has a complete misconception about what a yeshiva is like. If he thinks that a Bein Hazmanim is a vacation, and therefore not part of a yeshiva schedule, that's a complete misunderstanding of what a yeshiva is from the beginning to the end of it. You have to know why Reb Chaim Volozhin created the concept of a yeshiva and created the concept of a Bein Hazmanim in the first place. There has to be a reason. So what is it? What's the point behind a Bein Hazmanim? And I will admit to this as well. It's not really his fault. It's not really any of their faults. They have no idea because they look at yeshiva bachurim when they're on Bein Hazmanim, and if the yeshiva bachurim act as if Bein Hazmanim is their vacation, then they're right. I mean, they're 100% right. Then it's a vacation. Then it's not a Bein Hazmanim. It's not that. It's a vacation. It's an actual vacation. They're doing whatever they want. So that's not the greatest role model to be able to understand. So what we're going to do is try to understand what is our job during a Bein Hazmanim. What are we supposed to be doing when you have a day or two off of yeshiva or a week or two or whatever it is when you're on a Bein Hazmanim? And then with that, you'll be able to understand why we're still soldiers fighting in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's army, fighting for the soldiers that are actually at the borders and fighting equally with them at the exact same time. Okay. A yeshiva is different from a Beis Medrash. In a Beis Medrash, there's a very disparate type of learning. Individuals are learning what they want to do in a sviva that is Torah-oriented. Now that's nice. You got Torah around you. There's Kedusha wherever you go. It's still a Beis Medrash. It's nice because there's everything. but there's nothing there. It's just Kiddusha in that area. It might help your concentration, but there's no togetherness. There's no figuring out shot together with somebody else. A yeshiva is literally to be defined as a place where people sit together, whether in a chavrusa or together in a shir, to be able to figure out together what pshat is. It's not one person preaching and the other person listening. It's not about that. A chavrusa shat should never be that way. A chavrusa shat should be a give and take, the same way that a husband and a wife have a give and take with one another. It shouldn't be one in charge and the other one just, yes ma'am, yes ma'am, yes ma'am. It shouldn't be the other way around, or yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be you say one way. No, I think it's trying to say this way. That's the idea of what a chavrusa shat is supposed to be alike. It's supposed to be in a certain sugya, to be able to understand within the context of a shir, so that you have a basic idea of what you need to get to. And the literal translation of the word shiur is an amount, because you have a certain amount to get to every day. That's why they call it a shiur. What does shiur mean other than that? Does it mean a classroom? A shiur means an amount, a measurement. There's a certain amount that you can do every single day. The point of a shiur in a yeshiva is supposed to be that people get together, sit together to work out something together with somebody on top of them, which would be the Rebbe or whoever it is, helping them be able to understand what you're trying to get out. Within a system, there has to be a system, and in that system, people are helping work others together with it. When somebody feels down in shir, when somebody doesn't get it, there's somebody else helping them out. Saying to them, don't worry, I know you didn't understand that part, let me explain it to you. That's what it's supposed to be, that's how it's supposed to work together. The key is the achdus. The key is getting everyone together and to feel that you're part of something, and to know that that's the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. That it's not going to be you on your own, doing your own thing, bucking the system, so to speak, just so it works out better for you. The point of yeshiva is the opposite of what a base medr stands for. And both are good in their proper times. When you're out of yeshiva and there's no time to be able to sit down together, to be able to learn with the chavrusa, with the shir, with the Rebbe on top of you, then that's the time when you have a base medrash and you sit there and you do, this is what I'm doing, this is what he's doing, let's get a svivav, something kadosh. That's the idea. But when you're in yeshiva, it has to work toward one common goal, which is, let's see what we can get together, so that you feel like you're part of something, you feel like you're really part of them. There are three parts, time phrases, I should call it, to a yeshiva system. There is Seder during Nizman, Bena Starim during Nizman, and then Bena Zmanim. Those are the three separate parts, and each one of them is an integral component to a total idea, total package of what yeshiva has to offer. Number one, the Seder, which seems to be the easiest, is also the most complicated. What is the point of Seder? Why are we telling you to go sit in the chavrusa and learn something that you don't want to learn, necessarily? Why is it that you're sitting down and you're doing something like that? The point behind a Seder is to shape yourself into being a bacher. A bacher, beis ches vav resh, is to be a chosen one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be a chosen person in that army that is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the best way possible. You're fighting against all the evil that there is in this world. You're going up against it, you're fighting it, you're punching it, knocking it down on the ground. That's supposed to be what it's supposed to do. The Seder is there not just to re-energize, to pump yourself up, to get yourself so filled with Kedusha, of whatever it is that you're learning at the time, to get yourself inundated with everything that you're doing, to be able to aid yourself with chokmah and abilities so that you know you have the ability to do this in other places. You should gain self-confidence while in the middle of Seder. It should not be a knock-me-down. It should be working your way up to, okay, I have to understand what the words are. I'm going to have to understand what the concepts are. How much further can I take this? And if you're concentrating on just getting down little bits and pieces, for example, just the words, and you're missing out on the total picture, then you've totally missed the concept of what the Seder is. The Seder is not there if you just spend the whole time looking up a jastro or just looking up a dictionary to find out what does this word mean, what does that word mean. That's for Hebrew class. I'm sure you have an Hebrew class at some point. That's what it is. Seder is supposed to be about getting down concepts, understanding what's happening, and hopefully, yes, if you need the words, those are there also to be able to go, but to eventually bring yourself further so that it's no longer about just reading through, it's understanding why you're reading through, what you're reading through, what you're supposed to come out with at the end of the day. Because if you never get there, if you never get the concepts, it's just reading a book. It's just reading a Latin book and translating from Latin to English. That's all it is. It's more than that. It's more than just the words themselves. That's Seder. Learn what your abilities are, know what your kochos are, be able to work on yourself that way. So what's Bein HaStarim? What about the in-between times? And we give a lot. You have all of breakfast, all of lunch, and then the time where there's college classes, and then at night. There's a lot of breaks. And in every yeshiva system, there's a lot of breaks. What are those bina starim for? That's really to push yourself beyond your boundaries. Granted, you can utilize it to be able to re-energize yourself, push yourself, give yourself a little bit of a nap to get yourself ready for the next part. But it's more than that. That's like the easy way out. Bina starim is there to push yourself beyond the limitations of what Siddurim are. Meaning, Siddurim are 3 hours for morning Seder, 2.5 hours for afternoon Seder, and that's what you're given. You are given a certain amount of time, and it's saying, here's what you got to do, you'll do it during that time. And that's kind of like it's a job, you have no choice but to be able to keep those hours, and if you're late, the boss is ready to kill you. If you leave early, the boss is ready to kill you. And if you waste your time in the middle, the boss is ready to kill you. That's the way Siddurim should be spent. Bina Starim is, what can I do more than that? Can I push myself beyond the boundaries of the ordinary, and can I make myself learn even when I'm not being forced? A Bina Starim is almost like a test run, a trial run for you to see what things are going to be like when you're not pushed, when nobody is sitting there in the back telling you, you got to be there, you got to be there. What are you going to do? If you're wasting time, then the Bina Starim should be spent doing something different. Of course there's work to be had. Of course there's things that we have to do during our day. There's no question about that. But a Bina Starim is there to be able to push yourself. If you have a little bit of time to be able to learn, 15 minutes even, 10 minutes, that's what Bina Starim can be for a person. It shows you're going lifnin mishur sedin. You're going beyond the ordinary boundaries, and it's there to take care of yourself. To take care of yourself, to know what it is. And obviously, it's also there to take care of your goof, which either can happen with sleep, with bathroom, with eating, whatever, and stuff like that. All those stuff deal with that certain time, not during Seder, but after the Seder's over. But it's more than that. It's pushing yourself to make sure that your Siddurim remains kadosh and pure. And this is the added bonus, the additional bonus, the extra things that you get with it. That's what a Bina Starim is. And then you get to Bina Zman. So what's the point of a Bina Zman? We are only, while we're in yeshiva, are working on one point of lilmod ulalamed. But we have not yet come to the part of lasos ulakayim. It's called divrei Torah. You haven't gotten to that point yet. When you're in yeshiva, it's very rare to have an opportunity to be able to be in the part of maisa hamitzvos and the kiyum of the mitzvos. Now, what's the difference between the two? A maisa hamitzvah, I was once told by Rav Asher, is the difference, the idea, the concept behind it, is that a maisa mitzvah is actually getting up and doing something about it. Gemilas chesed would be the greatest example thereof, but it could really be anything. Maisa mitzvah is getting up and doing something that shows that you care about the Torah. A kiyum mitzvah is establishing it within yourself. Making yourself know that this is the right thing to do. That's the added level. It's greater than a maisa mitzvah. Kiyum mitzvah is being mekayim it, putting in sort of like a kiyum haget, establishing on it where Beis Din says this is a real get and we know it. We've checked up on the eight and we know it's there. That's what it is. Kiyum mitzvah means you're establishing within yourself so that your whole body, your whole system is revolving around mitzvahs. Bein Hazmanim is the time to do the maisa mitzvah and the kiyum mitzvah. It's not a vacation. It never was. It's not meant to be taken that way. It's not meant to be that way. Although we call it a vacation, time off from what we're used to doing. That might be true, but it's not the point of it. That's completely the opposite of what it is. It's the application of the lessons and everything that you've learned during that Seder or during the Bina Starim, taking it and applying it into a world where you're no longer being pushed, where there's no Rebbe around you. And if utilized correctly, it can be tremendously great. Because that Bina Zman can make everything happen for you. You're not surrounded by a Rebbe. You're not surrounded by a Kolo. And you're surrounded by Sfarim at all times. And yet you're still asked to be a good Jew. Not only a good Jew, to act in the best way possible and to prove that you're part of this Chayolim, this army that's working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are four aspects to work on when a person is in that Bein HaZmanim stage. What are the four aspects? Two deal with tefillah, two deal with your daily life. Number one, you must get up for Shacharis, and it must be not only on time. It should be earlier than you get up during the Zman. I know it sounds strange. What do you mean? I mean, if I don't have to get up for a 7:30 chakras, then why can't I just go to a 9 o'clock? There's a major difference. You get up for a 9 o'clock chakras. You're not out until 9:45, sometimes 9:55, on a Monday or Thursday. If it's Rosh Chodesh, forget about it. You're not starting your day till 10 o'clock. Right there, that puts you on vacation mode. That means there's no morning. You're already at lunchtime. Your breakfast is really a brunch. There's nothing there. You start a little bit earlier. You go to 7:30, 7:15, anything like that. Even at 8 o'clock, the 8 o'clock should be your last resort. You go to an earlier chakras, you're starting off your day. You're doing something with it. You'll find time afterward to do what you need to do. You'll have an entire morning to do whatever you do. And here's an important aspect as well. If you're getting up for a 7 o'clock or a 7:15 chakras, that means you didn't go to sleep at 3:30 the night before. That means you didn't waste your time at night. The most important aspect of getting up for chakras early is to make sure that you have a night with normal amounts of sleep. Not crazy, well, now I'm out of yeshiva, now I don't have to. Now I can go to sleep at 2:30, 3 o'clock, I can watch those movies that I've been missing the whole month. That's not what it's about. It's about now, I need to go to sleep at a normal time to get myself up earlier to be able to have a full day. To make sure that I have aspects of this day that I can do. That's number one. The number one point of any Bene Zmanim is make sure that you make chakras and you're there before or at the same time that you were during the Zman. And if absolutely need be, no more than a half hour later. No more than 8 o'clock. You're going to a 9 o'clock, that's not going to work. That's not a Bene Zmanim. That is a vacation. That is an absolute vacation. That's not Bene Zmanim. Number two. You must find 30 minutes of learning time per day. No matter how many responsibilities you have, no matter how many crazy things go on, you have to have at least 30 minutes of learning time per day. That's it. Not more than 30 minutes, although obviously you can add on to it if you find the time, but there must be 30 minutes. Again, if you're getting up early, you shouldn't have a problem with this. Because if you're getting up early enough, 7 o'clock, 7:30, or whatever it is, you should be able to do the 30 minutes right after chakras. And then you just fulfilled it. You get up at, let's say you go to a 7:30 chakras. You finish at 8:15, 8:20, whatever it is. You can go until 9 o'clock and then you eat breakfast at 9 o'clock. That works out perfectly. It ends up being, but if you don't do it, if you go to a 9 o'clock minyan, you finish around 10, well then you don't finish until 10:30, you're starving already. So by 10:30 you'd like end a little bit early. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It's not the same thing. And that 30 minutes of learning should be something that you've always wanted to do, you just haven't done it. You just haven't found time during this month to do it. You've got your own, this is your own limud time. You should have a limud that is purely Bein HaZmanim limud. It should be something that you only do then. I don't have time to do it during this month because I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have the other. But here I can go ahead and do it. That's what a Bein HaZmanim limud should be. It should be 30 minutes of something that would be fun for you. Something that you want to do. And there's got to be something out there. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be halacha, it could be chumash, it could be navi. It could be something that you've never done before. Tefillah. Anything. But it has to be 30 minutes of solid learning, packed in learning of something that you love doing, that you want to do, not something you're forced to do. That's number two. Number two in and of itself. Number three, you must do two chasadim every day. Two acts of absolute chasid every single day. And one of them must revolve around your parents. One of them must revolve around your parents. Now, in this aspect, I'd like to point something out. Sitting down and talking to your parents for a 30-minute session is a massive act of chesed. Huge act of chesed. Sitting down and telling them about your day, them asking you things, and just sitting down with them, having a sit-down, not a stand-up while you're walking through the hallway, they're walking the other way, how's everything, I'm good, yeah, okay, great son, and that's that. But to sit down with them and actually have a conversation, using up your time to be able to sit down and sit with them, is a massive act of chesed. They may not have the time themselves. You'll remember that for your own kids. But it is a huge act. Right there could be a massive act. To wash dishes when they could be washed. To be able to put things away when you know they have to be put away. Anything like that. That is a huge act of chesed that must be done for your parents. And then there should be another. It can be done with your parents, but it could be done for anybody else as well. There should be another act that you do that revolves around chesed that should be done sometime during the day. So no matter what else is going on, you have to do those two acts. And the number four. Mincha and Maariv must be davened with a minyan. You should have no excuses to not daven Mincha and Maariv together with a minyan. If you're worried you don't know what time Mincha and Maariv is, know now. what the mincha and marav minyanim are in your city and figure it out now before you get back. I mean, if you're dealing with Chicago, then you know that the sun is about to set. Mincha right now is about 4:10 in every shul. 4:05, 4:10, 4:15 in every shul, and there's a marav right afterward. Don't come up later on and say, oh, I didn't even realize it was already 4:10, I didn't realize I'm nowhere near a minyan. No. Set up your day, revolve your day around getting to a mincha minyan at 4:10. And if you can't make it for whatever reason, there's a Thanksgiving dinner and you're going to miss the Lions game, oh, big time. So then, make sure that you make a 1:30 mincha, or a 12:30 mincha, or 1:45. Find out what the minyanim are. Don't use the excuse of, well, I didn't know. That's not good enough. When it's a bein hazmanim, revolve your day around making a mincha and a mariv minyan. Not just davening by yourself. Because again, it's the same type of concept. If you sit at your house, and you need to daven mariv, and it's late at night already, it's already 11:45, what do you think that mariv is going to be like? You got your shoes off, you're wearing sweatpants, you're sitting around, you're doing absolutely nothing, and you're just like, alright, whatever. So you sit there in your socks, and your sweatpants, and your t-shirt, and you're just going ahead and you're davening a mariv. That's not mariv. It's not mariv. That's not a tefillah. Especially during bein hazmanim when you're doing nothing else. Revolve your day around getting to a minyan and make sure you're there. 15 minutes for mincha, 15 minutes for mariv. Make sure you're there. So all together, what I'm really asking from you, from all these things over here, is basically about 2.5 hours. An hour for shacharis, that's earlier in the day, a half an hour for learning, a half an hour for mincha and mariv, and then a half an hour of some type of chesed that you're trying to figure out. You do that all together, you have four aspects of bein hazmanim, the four major aspects, two dealing with tefillah, and two dealing with your ma'aseh mitzvos, and if you do that, I'm guaranteeing you, bein hazmanim is not just a vacation. It's a zman. It's a zman, and it takes work. And you have to build your way up to it. It doesn't happen just all of a sudden. You have to prepare for it. Know where you're going to be. It's now Tuesday. It's soon. Thursday. You're going to have the day off. What are you doing? What are you going to do for it? If you just go in there and say, I'll figure it out then. I'll figure it out on Thursday morning. You're never going to make chakras on time. You're never going to make mincha on time. Wednesday night, forget about Wednesday night. Wednesday, you're going to be up until 6 o'clock in the morning trying to figure it out, and then you won't make fasikin, because fasikin's late now, and then you have nothing to do. Don't do that. Set up your times now. If you need to take a sleeping pill to get yourself to sleep on Wednesday night on time, then do it. Do it. It's not worth anything else there. And know that if it's a Thursday night, Friday, and you're planning on Black Friday and get out there, and you're planning on staying up and whatever it is and going out there, then know what your times are. Know when chakras is. Know when basikin is. Exactly what time. So you know that if I'm going to stay up all night and I'm going to ruin my whole day from it, then fine. Set it up that you go to basikin and then you sleep. Set up in a way that you're learning sometime during that night so you don't have to worry about learning on Friday. Know beforehand what you need to do to make it beneficial. Because otherwise, it's just going to be terrible. A bein hazmanim can throw you right back down. And I'm expecting, everybody has a yurida over any bein hazmanim, even if it's only 3 or 4 days. I'm expecting a yurida, and I'm glad I'm not going to be able to be here to see see it happen. But it's going to happen. It happens to everybody. It's part of life. That's what it is. And part of this is also, it's yurida l'tzorach aliyah. You need a yurida once in a while. You need to bring yourself down a little bit in order to bring yourself up. It's necessary. That's the idea behind it. See, if you really look at a bein hazmanim that way, as literally being part of the zman itself, you look at the bein hazmanim and you say, I can do something here that it's no less chashuv than the real zman and the real siddurim that you have. The same way that bein hazmanim is just as the same as the seder itself. If you look at it that way, yeshiva is going on all year long. You're not off of yeshiva taking a vacation while the soldiers are fighting somewhere else. No, not at all. You're in the zman. It's just a different aspect of the zman, a different aspect of your avodas Hashem, a different aspect of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way that they're serving. Now, granted, that's hard, again, for them to grasp. And if you're not in the army, then it's very hard to say such a thing. I'm telling you what the point of yeshiva was. The point of yeshiva bachur is. If you want to argue the point, I don't mind that. You can definitely go to the army. And I'm perfectly fine with that. But to be in yeshiva and to understand where you are, to know that your point is to make a Kiddush Hashem in everything you do in every aspect of your life. If you know that and you know how to use it, you just pushed yourself to the point where it's as if you're doing the exact same thing as sitting down and learning for 3.5 hours. That's the point of such a thing. You just have to work for it. It has to be done correctly. And then it becomes a Kiddush Hashem. And if more people would do this, if more people understood what a bein hazmanim was and not what it isn't, If they understood that, there'd be no shilas. There absolutely would be no shilas of why people have to be in yeshiva. This is life. This is absolutely life. This is what makes the world go round. It's just hard to grasp onto sometimes. Hard to grasp onto. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great